what is the greatest definition of love? We see from the Bible that God has his definition of what the greatest love is. You look in the world today and they'll tell you that love is just a feeling, that you ought to just follow your heart and you'll be okay. And that's not true. Love is an action. Love is a sacrificial action that one does for another. And we're going to see God's amazingly demonstrated this love to us. We see God's love for us by looking at God and looking in his word. And we're going to take a glimpse of that in just a moment. But before we do, I just want to show you that the misguided views about God's love. Many people today have a false impression about God and his love for the world. Some people think that if God truly loved them, then he would tolerate their sinful lifestyle. He would meet their expectation and fulfill their own personal desires. Well, the devil deceived Eve to think the same thing. In the beginning, the Bible says, the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil." What the devil wanted to deceive Eve was this: when God had given man this commandment not to eat from the garden, which was the tree which was forbidden in the garden, but he wanted to make her think that God doesn't really love you, Eve. He's holding back from you. And the same thing today, the misguided view of what God's love for humanity is, if he just basically accepts them even in their sinfulness. But let me just say this to you tonight. God and his love for us is not based on what we think we deserve. It's based on who he is. God is love. The truth of the matter is, when you look in the Bible and you see how much God loved Eve, he gave her the variety of different fruits of every tree in the garden except one. And not only that, but he warned her not to touch the one that brings death. And what do you know? She go ahead and touched it. Well, she ate from it. Notice what the Bible says. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God gave her other varieties that she can choose from and warned her about the one that would kill her, but she wanted the one that brings forth death. Along with God's amazing design in creation comes his authority and his leadership. We must understand tonight that God is God. The Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Once we understand that the God is our creator and he created us dependent people, we're not independent. God created us to be dependent upon him. God put that eternity in our hearts, that void that many people that try to fill that void. It's not different things in this world today. It's God. And the reason why people run to different things to make them happy is because there's this void that they're trying to fill. But in reality, God is that missing void. Now, what people need to understand, that it is a wonderful thing that God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his great love for us, decided that we'll be part of his plan. For us to have an invitation from God, that he wants a relationship with us, is great grace and love within itself. I mean, who are we that God is mindful of us? I mean, who are we that God will extend his love to humanity, and even that humanity didn't even want anything to do with God? Oh, they want God's benefits. They want God and what he can give, but they don't want God. But yet God still reaches out to them and says, "Okay, you don't want me, but I want you." That's great love within itself, that God is mindful of. You know what Job said? Job said this: "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? and that thou shouldest set thy heart upon him. You know, tonight, let me say this. God has set his heart upon you when he created you. Man, he was thinking about you. You're here tonight because God had you on his mind. Now that's love. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loves you. Poor Eve rebelled, wanted to be the little G God of her life, and with it came shame, and with it came guilt, and with it came death. Let me tell you another misconception tonight. A lot of people want to falsely believe that if God truly loved them, then why has he allowed wars and death and innocent children and suffering and health problems and divorce to happen? Let me just say this. The truth is that God is blameless. You cannot blame God for man's sinful decisions. God must be cleared of this ridiculous thought that it is God's fault that people die because of foolish decisions that other people make. You know, the truth of the matter is, all this pride and all this bitterness and all this hate comes within the man and his heart. The Bible says, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders. God never put that in man's heart. Man thought of it. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, that's a strong lustful desire, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. God cannot surely be blamed for the sinful heart of man and their rebellious ways. God is love. God created all things very good, perfect, without sin, without death. However, the world now lies in its sin-cursed state because of our rebellion against God. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, all mankind has inherited this sinful nature. We are aging, we are dying because of the inheritance of Adam and Eve, our descendants. Yes, we came from them. We didn't come from a monkey. We didn't come from a Big Bang explosion. As a matter of fact, it takes more faith to believe in those ridiculous thoughts than to believe that there is a designer behind you. As a building demands a builder, as a painting demands a painter, so creation demands a creator. And we need to understand that God is God, and God is a God of love, and these wars and divorce and all these different things and innocent children suffering is not because of God, but because of man. Well, like we cannot blame the government for the sinful, rebellious decisions they make, people make in their lives. For example, let me give you an example tonight. Let's just say that your brother or your sister or your daughter or whoever it may be was run over by a man that was speeding in a school zone of 40 kilometers and they were going 80. And they ran over your friend or your child or whatever. Would you get up and arch your neck and say, "How dare the government?" Of course not. As a matter of fact, the 40 zone is put in their place to keep people under submission because they know that people are lawbreakers. But they wouldn't blame the government for it. They'll blame the person that broke the law. So how can people blame God for their rebellious ways? We cannot blame God. This is another misconception that God about God's love. Well, let's talk about God's love tonight in these next few minutes. What is God's love? And John 15:13 says this. Please note the greatest definition of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Think about that tonight. Laying down your life for your friend. You know, God demonstrated that great love on Calvary's cross. Not just for his friends, but for his enemies. Now think about that greatest love. Think about what God did on that cross when God was thinking about you. We think about how he left heaven's glory and he came down and was born in a stable, was born around animals. He wasn't born in a palace, but he was born around animals. He was in poverty. And the reason why it was done in such a way that in his poverty and in his sacrifice and the way he lived, we may be rich. He sacrificed his life for us. The greatest love that anyone had bestowed upon this earth is what God had done for us. We know true love when we look at God and what he's done on the cross. We know that love is amazing, unconditional, and wonderful. You say, why? Because God willingly laid it down. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loves us. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's you, notice this promise, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to restore life to you again because of the curse and because of sin. Death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And now God, what he wants to do on that cross is he wants to bring life to you again. He wants to simply come and take your place on that cross. He wants to justify you as if you've never sinned. The Bible says that he that knew no sin became sin for us. God was a substitute. He was a ransom. He was taking your place. A ransom is something that you pay to buy back. We couldn't pay for our sin ourselves. There's nothing in this world that we can ever do to outweigh our bad on who we are. But God is pleased with what he's done. And the greatest gift that he had given to humanity was his blood shed on Calvary to cover and atone for your sin. What a great love. Greater love is to lay down your life for another person. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for yet your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. Without God, we'd never know this definition of a great love through his sacrificial death. Let me give you some questions in closing to help you see God's amazing love for you. If your mind was distracted in the last 10 minutes about this great plan of salvation, please try to tune in these last 5 minutes. Please. Was God obligated to give us the opportunity to experience life? Not at all. But he did it because he loves you. The Bible says God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into their nostrils and they became a living soul. This is why the reason man, when they die, they say ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because he came from the ground. And God formed man from the ground and he breathed into them and into their nostrils. And the Bible says they became a living soul. What makes you different from an animal is that you're going to live forever. And it's either eternal life or eternal death. And what God did is he created you to live and not to die. Did God have to do that? Absolutely not. But he did it because he loves you. Was God expected to provide food for us to enjoy? No. But he did it because he loves you. You know, food is for us to basically be nourished and strengthened and strong to work and survive and enjoy our family and friends and also our relationship with him. But let me say this tonight. God didn't have to give you those toast buds to go along with it. But he did. So you can enjoy the good things of those different fruits that you eat. God loves you. He says this, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Was God required to have a relationship with us? No, but he did because he loves you. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Did you know tonight that God created you for his pleasure? You know what pleases God here tonight? Not what pleases us in this world. What pleases God here tonight is to have a relationship with you. the God of this universe that created this universe just with his voice and 6 days and rested on seven, the magnificent power of God wants a relationship with you. No money can buy that. You can't buy that. And God that sits in heaven's glory looks down and says, yes, I want a relationship with you. How about it? How about it? Did God have to do that? But for us to be part of his plan is a wonderful thing. That's a blessing. Well, was God compelled to lay down his life and die in our place to restore life to us again? No, but he did, because he loves us. Hebrew, I perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Did God have to freely give us all things, including a home in heaven with him? No, but he did, because God loves us with an everlasting love. The Bible says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He doesn't want to only restore life to you again, but he wants to give you more. Does that blow out of the water here tonight? Seriously? I didn't want anything to do with you, and you want to give life to me again, and when I die, you want me to be with you in heaven, to live with you in heaven forever, and you want to clear my record of sin by your son's blood, and now you even want to give me more things? Yeah, I love you. Does that do something to your soul? I hope it does here tonight. God loves you. Sadly, there are many people today that are not in heaven, that have died and gone to a place of darkness, a place of separation, a place of death because of the curse, and they died in their sin. Not because God didn't love them. No! But because they rejected God's love and said, thank you very much, God, but I'm okay. I'm the little g God of my life. I'll do it my way. I said to the young people last night, I said, guys, God's not interested in religion. Did you know religion is a great divider between man and God? Man created religion for power and prestige, but God is not interested in that. As a matter of fact, he spoke against it, and he told those religious people, please, don't get in the way of those that want to come to me. God is interested in a relationship. And there are many people today, right now, sitting in the place of regret because they rejected God's love for them. It's not because of God didn't love them. You hear it, and you hear it time and time again, and you say, oh, if he's such a loving God, why would he send people to hell? He doesn't, my friend, here tonight. God doesn't send anyone to hell. But they are condemned. They condemn themselves because they rejected and pushed God out of their life. He doesn't send no one to hell. God, the Bible says, God is not willing for any to perish, but all come to repentance. As a matter of fact, God has made a way out, and that's through his son, and he loves you. And today, he wants you to receive him. Would you do that if you haven't already? Would you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Notice this, in closing this verse. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're royalty. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you're heirs. You're royalty. You're the child of the King. Notice what the Bible says, though. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Unfortunate. There are some that will look up people and they'll say, oh, they're the Jesus freaks. They're the Bible bashers. They're the ones that follow the Word of God to the T, and they want to please God. You know why they say that? Because they don't know him, and they've never experienced his love. You can be either in two places. You can be the persecuted or the ridiculed because if you made one decision to trust your Creator, or you can stand with the world and say, ha, ha, ha. Where will you stand? Would you be the scornful mocker? Crucify him! Or would you be with the ones that were at his feet saying, he did that for me, beating on their chest, oh Lord? And would you call upon the Lord tonight? How would you respond to this great love that God has given you? Would you receive him or would you reject him? Would you pray tonight by admitting that you're a sinner? And second, admitting that the wages of sin is death? And thirdly, believing that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you and that you'd believe on him and repent and trust him with all your heart? Would you do that tonight? And would you say, Lord, thank you for this. I surely don't deserve it, but I sure need it. I'm dead in my sin. I need life to be restored to me again. And I sure don't want to die and be separated from you forever. Would you want to do that tonight if you haven't done it already? Stand like these ones with great assurance saying, I know who I've believed. And to die is gain, and I can't wait to get there. If you can't say to die is gain, then you're probably still holding on to something that you can't hold on forever. What would you two do tonight with this great, amazing love? With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to pray. And after that, Brother Nathan will lead us with a song. And the baptism folk tonight, the ones that are getting baptized, would you make your way in the changing rooms to get changed? Would you do that? The ones getting baptized tonight, would you do that? Just make your way. And while they're making their way to get changed and prepared to be baptized, with all heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, no one looking around, has God struck a chord in your heart tonight? Has God calling you and saying, come home, like the prodigal? Let me ask you a question tonight. Has there been a moment in your life that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Can you honestly say, I know where I'll go, I know where I'll spend eternity? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? You say, Brother Charlie, you know what? I don't know where I'll go. And I know that God loves me so much and I've never trusted him with all my heart, but tonight I want to trust him. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, you can lift up a hand with no one looking around. Say, please pray for me. Anyone like that, say, please pray for me. Say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never come back to the living God, the one that made me. I'm still in my sin and I haven't trusted Christ and I want to do it tonight. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, you can lift up a hand and you can slip it back down. I want to keep you in my prayers tonight. Anyone like that? Anyone else there? Say, please pray for me. Father in heaven, you know the hearts and the hands of those. Oh Lord, I pray that tonight can be the night for them that they would pass from death to life because they've received this greatest love demonstrated on the cross by your Son. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to make that decision tonight and they can be translated from darkness to light if they haven't done that already. I pray that you'd continue to have your hand on the service tonight. I pray that your word will continue to stir our hearts, that we'll be your following people. For your glory, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Nathan.